I'm suiting up.
Welcome to Dr. 3, a Hearthstone podcast dedicated to giving you explosive growth in climbing the standard ranked ladder. I'm your host, Daring Alkaline, and along with me are my fellow hosts, Nikolaius and Major Death. So guys, let's just go ahead and jump right into it. So Mage, you want to run us down on last week's poll question?
I love the amount of feedback we got on last week's poll question about Hunter. What is the best Hunter card? Not seeing much play in Standard right now. 58% of the 64 votes selected Houndmaster Shaw. He is the winner of this poll question. 28% said Savannah Highmane. 11% said the original Houndmaster. And then we had two other votes. One of them was the legendary Varisa, the new legendary from Rise of Shadows. And apparently someone doesn't think Master's Call or Nine Lives is seeing enough play right now. So we got to vote for one of those as well. To be fair, Mech Hunter is the most popular version, and the most popular versions of Mech Hunter do not run nine lives usually, or Master's Call. So there is something to be said for that, but yeah, we were kind of looking at a little bit more besides that. And I think if you talk about any other version of Hunter besides that one, you'd see Master's Call, you'd see potentially Nine Lives is a little bit more obscure, but it's definitely seeing play in a Death Rattle Hunter deck that's playing Oblivitron and some of those sorts of things, the Whelp. So I love the amount of feedback. I hope we can continue to get this much feedback when we do our poll questions each week. And we'll have one about our class today, Mage, a little bit later on.
Excellent. So, guys, you want to talk quickly about this past week's Tavern Brawl, the fight against Ragnaros. How do you guys do? Did you get all three of your rewards done?
Yeah, I did it twice, both times for 26 minutes and change. Mm-hmm. So it was pretty decent. I wasn't trying to race anybody. I've seen people go into like less than 10 minutes, and I have no desire to waste my time doing that.
Yeah.
You know, I did it the first time with Shaman, and then the second one with Warrior.
Yeah. Mage?
I did it on stream last Friday night. I got 31 minutes on my main account with Warrior, and then I was able to complete it with Rogue on my EU account, but it took me 49 minutes because it was an all kind of burgle rogue sort of thing. So it was a little bit more complicated than it was just, you know, putting bombs in my opponent's deck and having them draw.
Yeah, I was going to say, the Warrior power was really good. One mana, you can use it.
For the early bosses, yeah, especially when their deck is so small. Craziness. Oh, yeah.
So I ran through it in 28 minutes on my first try. And then I was playing a little bit with the Rogue, and it was, or the Shaman. It was a little bit more challenging, but you could get two evolves out of turn. So it was fun. So I thought it was a pretty well put together piece of solo content. And then this week we're getting another different eight bosses. Is that right?
I think it's a predetermined, like you get one hero and then it's another eight bosses or something like that. So it's not like as varied, but it's similar to last week's.
Awesome. I like getting new solo content, even if it is a little bit recycled. It's definitely nice to get off ladder for a few minutes and blow off some steam. So
and you could and you were able to complete quests
exactly
playing the Tavern Brawl too. So it was really nice with that.
Yeah, it's
odd. One of the legendary quests actually was play and win three Tavern Brawls. So
yeah, and it's weird to see a Tavern Brawl live on Monday and Tuesday. It's just like, is this broken? Or okay, so next we're going to move in and just talk briefly about some of the revealed cards. I know, Nikolaius, you had a few that piqued your interest, and we wanted to talk about those.
So my favorite one revealed is Plague of Murlocs, but I'm going to let Mage talk about that one. I'll jump in if I have to, because I think that card is absolutely broken.
Mm-hmm.
As well it should be. I think we could all agree that we need broken Murlocs in our lives.
The Priest card, Psycho Pomp, 4 mana, 3-1, Battlecry, summon a random friendly minion that died this game and give it reborn. It just seems really annoying to deal with, and I already hate the Res Priest mechanic, so this is going to be even more frustrating, so that's fun.
So here's what I thought about that. The upside to that is that minion's coming into the res pool.
Yeah.
So
that, like, is true, but...
Yeah.
And then there are two other Shaman cards revealed. Earthquake, which is 7 mana, deals 5 damage to all minions, and then deals 2 damage to all minions. So it kind of staggers it out to get through Divine Shields or deal with the Death Rattles. So I like that flexibility. There was a point in time where Electra Storm Surge worked with Lightning Storm to clear off the Death Rattles, and it doesn't work that way anymore, and it's kind of one of those feel bad moments.
Mm-hmm.
Because Shaman doesn't have a lot of ways to deal with the, like, a Soul of the Forest anymore, but this is definitely an answer to it now, which I like. Help give Control Shaman some nice tools. And then the Weaponized Wasp, 3 mana 3/3, Battlecry, if you control a lackey, deal 3 damage. That's really powerful.
Yeah. So
3 Shaman cards, 3 very powerful cards, so...
Man, I feel like Earthquake just reads, make Token Druid have a bad day. Because that's,
I kind of equated Weaponized Wasp to actually the Hunter card that just rotated that you...
Oh, Flanking Strike.
Flanking Strike, because you basically, to make sure you have a lackey on the board, you play a lackey and then you play this, you do 3 damage, you get a 3/3 on the board. So you actually end up with 4/4 worth of stats on the board, starting on turn 4, or for 4 mana, and do 3 damage to your opponent as well.
And so get the lucky battle cry as well. Exactly. Yeah, it's really powerful. But the only downside of that is, as opposed to Flanking Strike being a single card, you have to draw, like, that Sludge Slurper or the Cable Rat type thing, but...
Right.
Yeah.
And the upside is it says deal 3 damage, so yes, that 3 damage mm-hmm. can go face as opposed yes. to having to be used on a minion. So
and
that,
all of those cards, good. Sorry, all of those cards work really well with the Shaman Battlecry quest as well. So
mm-hmm. Corrupting the Waters
seems that is something to make that quest more interesting for sure. So, So, as we alluded... Oh, I want to talk to Raid the Sky Temple. Seemed very interesting to me. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be good, but that's the Mage quest. Play 10 spells from your deck. And
just cast 10 spells.
Cast 10 spells. And then the hero power is 2 mana. Add a random Mage spell to your hand. It costs 2 less. So... I was thinking about it. I was like, is that better than a ping on average? Probably not, but it is, has upsides, and it's interesting. So I thought it was a cool card. I like the quest, and I'd like to see that work, but ultimately it's a random card a turn, so.
It's more value,
mm-hmm.
but you lose the ability to kill a minion or ping phase, and you don't normally need a lot of value. Like, the question is this better than playing a giant in Conjurer's Calling? Probably not.
No.
Does it fit in that deck? I don't know. Like, it takes up a slot in your opening hand, and when you play it, then that takes away a slot in your hand for Mountain Giant to be cheaper. And then, do you really need that extra value when you're hitting them with 8/8s and freezing the board? I don't think so.
Yeah.
It feels like it might be a decent start to a control Mage deck. And yes. maybe in a year from now, once Conjurer's Calling has rotated out of standard, right?
No. Well, Rise of Rise of Shadows. Yeah. So they rotate at the same time.
So they're going to be out.
Yeah.
a tear goes down my face as Raid the Sky Temple is not going to be in a world where there isn't Conjurer's Calling. So they're always going to be competing with one another because it feels like they're doing two completely different things.
Mm-hmm. And one of them is better than the other. More stats or random spell.
Yeah, if for some reason Mountain Giants end up joining the Molten Giants in the Hall of Fame, then maybe we have a little bit different discussion.
I was actually thinking about that. I was like, I wonder if they would even consider that. But Cyclone Mage is a good deck, but like the stats showed as like a tier 2 deck. So...
It's tough to yeah. play.
It is.
It's much better in Specialist
exactly.
than on Ladder.
Exactly.
Like, and even on Ladder, it's still very strong. It just tends to lose to most of the Rogue decks, and some of the Hunter decks can outrace it as well.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Starts getting in trouble if you're running into Mage, or at really fast decks. Anyways, that's potentially something we could discuss in a little bit as we start to discuss this week's class, Mage.
Now, well, let Mage talk about the.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Yes.
We need.
I apologize.
We need to bring a plague into our lives. A plague of Murgle Gurgle, 3-mana epic, shaman spell, plague of Murlocs. Transform all minions into random Murlocs. This is crazy. It is. Yeah. We already have a pretty good Murloc deck in standard right now, a pretty good one in wild too, actually. And this card, I think it's kind of like a devolve to your opponent because the minions that your opponent might have probably aren't going to be they're not going to have Murloc synergy like you are going to have Murloc synergy if you're going to play this card. And so, you know, if you're trying to get around taunts or death rattles and things like that, this is a cool card for that. You can then get the synergizing with some of the other Murlocs that you have in the deck. You know, you're presumably running Cold Light Seers and different things like this. In Wild, it's even crazier because you have old Murkai and things like that, and every fin is awesome, which suddenly, one of the things that sucks about playing Murlocs in Wild is they do the devolve, and then you suddenly have no Murlocs on the board. You pay 3 mana, you get a board full of Murlocs again, and then, you know, you can go right back to, you know, hitting them in the face again. So I'm not sure you run two of these, but you could run definitely one of these, and you know, it then makes some of the non-Murloc cards you might run in the Murloc deck, and specifically lackeys and things like that, can suddenly become Murlocs and be much more beneficial to you.
And totems.
And totems, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I really like this card in both the Murloc Shaman as a way to deal with taunts and stuff and death rattles and max and all that kind of stuff, as well as in control shaman, because one of the big problems with control shaman is it doesn't have a way to deal with mountain giants.
Mm-hmm.
Even with earthquake, it doesn't have a way to deal with mountain giants unless you have spell damage. This is a 3-mana answer very cleanly to mountain giants, so
mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems really good. It feels like a tool that can help them stabilize because you could essentially get a board that you can clear, turn your opponent's board into a board you can clear with Lightning Storm.
Now, well, depending on how many there are, if there's only like 3 or 4 Murlocs and they're not super threatening, you know, you can probably just take that and heal up later with Witch's Brew.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So there's it gives you options, and yeah.
Their 8/8 Mountain Giant becomes a 2/1, you know, Murloc. It's suddenly a lot less intimidating.
Unless they all turn,
and they're not going to conjure Scalding that either. So
unless they all turn into War Leaders, and then you have 12/12s,
then you feel bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, that, so I really like that too. I think it's going to be a really strong card in standard constructed. Okay, is there anything else before I step on anyone's toes?
Okay. The full schedule for reveals got released as well. We're going to see a stream of revealed cards starting this Friday the 19th, all the way until like a day or two before the pre-release events, the beginning of August. So
awesome.
We will not be lacking cards to talk about going forward the rest of the month, I think.
Oh yeah, for sure. It comes out next month, so early next month. So it's got to come down the pipe. Okay, so as I introduced earlier, this week the class is Mage. And Mage, can you give us the developer's insight on the class of Mage?
So when I think Mage, I think spells. Lots and lots and lots of spells. And strangely enough, the developers think spells as well. Masters of Arcane Arts and wide range of spells to take on anybody. They don't have much in the way of defense, though, so you have to come up with the right spell to help you get through it. So strengths, spells, big or small, doesn't matter. Damaging spells. Hey, board clears, huh? More spells. And then secrets. It's like we've got nine different types of spells, and then secrets are spells too, but slightly different. Limitations, they're going to be able to do this once in a while. Minion swarms. They can kind of do that right now.
Mm-hmm.
It would be nice if it was just Vexcrow doing it, but it's Mountain Giants and Conjurer's Calling.
And then Khadgar.
And Khadgar. And the weaknesses are healing, taunts, and minion buffs.
Yeah. I'd say that's one of the more accurate ones they've put out, because every time they say Death Rattle, I'm like, really?
Really?
Yeah, exactly.
Really, though? Really?
I don't feel like that's right. Okay, so
I don't think they've ever... I don't know that I've ever thought that Mage is Death Rattle. I think they're just all about the spells. And,
oh, yeah.
And they didn't mince words here. They basically just said, Mage is spells. And which is a little interesting, because the Mage is the first class you get when you just start out the game brand new. And you don't necessarily use spells the same way you use minions and learning the aspect of trading and different things like that. So it's kind of interesting that it is as spell focused as it is. But from a lore standpoint, and it does make sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Nikolaus, you want to run us down on the key cards from the classic and basic set of Mage?
Yeah, Mage has actually got quite a few powerful basic and classic cards. I don't think many of them are on quite the same level as, cards from, for example, the Rogue class, but they are quite ubiquitous. Whenever you see a Mage deck, you're expecting to see some of these cards show up. So Frostbolt and Fireball are your classic burn damage spells. Go face, it gives you damage to close out, along with the occasional Pyroblast. Just gives you a lot of damage from hand, which is good because Mage doesn't typically have a lot of minion damage, except for when they have Mountain Giants. Which is new. Like, Mountain Giants is a new thing for Mage.
Mm-hmm.
They also have board freezes or freeze effects. I mentioned Frostbolt. They also have Frost Nova. They have Blizzard. They used to have Ice Lance. They have some pretty decent removal in the form of Polymorph and Flame Strike. And then they have a bit of draw in the form of Arcane Intellect. And then, of course, you have your Sorcerer's Apprentice to kind of make all of these spells cost one less, which is really important to get these.
Such a good card.
It's one of the key cards in the Mage class. And then the legendary they have is Archmage Antonitis, which combos really well with Sorcerer's Apprentice and cheap spells to give you even more fireballs, so you can deal even more burn damage to the face.
Exactly.
And then you've got all the secrets. You've got Ice Barrier, Mirror Entity, Counterspell, Spellbender, Vaporize, all of those are in the classic set.
Mm-hmm. No more Ice Block.
No more Ice Block. No. Thank God.
It's definitely not a bad thing, that's for sure. Nope. Every time I see someone play against Mage in a Wild and it's the first secret goes up and it's like, that's an Ice Block, isn't it? God, I forgot what it's like to play against that.
It doesn't see much play, but Water Elemental's a pretty good minion from Classic.
I mean, it's pretty good when you get it for two mana and a paying with Frostlich Chain.
Yeah. It's better that way, yes. But
did we mention a lifesteal like that, too?
Yeah.
I miss Frostlich Chain.
Yeah, I love that card. Such a cool card.
It was so infuriating to play against, but that was probably my favorite Death Knight, so...
That her and Rexxar were my favorites just because, like, the crazy stuff the real crazy stuff you could do. So let's.
Did we mention Flame Strike? I think we did, right?
If we didn't, 7 mana, deal 4 damage. It's a very solid board clear along with Blizzard to try and mitigate some damage. It's not a very. It's not a big tempo swing, it's just kind of trying to deal with what they have, but you don't, because it's 7 mana, you don't really get any chance to do anything else with it most of the time.
Right.
So it definitely can clear up those.
Much better in Arena.
Yes, yeah, oh yeah, for sure.
Well, it got nerfed for a while in Arena. Offering rate got nerfed because it feels bad to lose to you. You kind of overcommit to the board against Mage going into the Flame Strike turn, and they gleefully will spend 7 mana to clear your entire board, and then you're sitting there with 2 cards and being unable to actually mount any form of an offensive against the Mage the rest of the game. So
yeah, it's a lot better to go 3-for-1 or 4-for-1 or something in Arena as opposed to Standard, where it's like, whatever, most of the time.
Yeah. Now if it comes off a Mana Cyclone...
Then you feel bad.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Mana Cyclone's just a feel bad card.
Oh yeah, it really is. So you want to go over some of the decks of yore, some of the archetypes of Mage past.
Yeah, Freeze Mage is the most common, the one that everybody's heard of. There's been some sort of Freeze Mage in almost every single meta where Mage has had some sort of relevance, just because it has the 2 copies of Frost Nova, the 2 copies of Blizzard. It has Doomsayers. It used to have Ice Lances. It has the Frost Bolts and the Fireballs. Archmage Antonitis. Like, it has a lot of damage from hand. The way that it plays now is slightly different from how it did at the start of Hearthstone. But the basic concept is the same of, you don't get to attack me, but I'm going to do things to you. Mm-hmm. Just the freeze effect, the freeze mechanic is very solitaire like. It's a real
non-interactive. I think is the word you're looking.
Sure, let's go with that. It makes people feel bad a lot of the time because it's like only one person gets to play the game.
Mm-hmm.
When GVG came out, we had Mech Mage, which was a more aggressive mage, and then that kind of transitioned into, I'm putting air quotes, tempo mage. I hate the term tempo. It's just what the deck is called. Whatever. It used Flame Waker and Sorcerer's Apprentice and Arcane Missiles and a bunch of other cheap spells to just deal a ton of ping damage very, very quickly. Flame Waker was pretty busted, and it still is in Wild.
Still definitely is in Wild. Yes.
Yeah.
And then we've also got a few other ones. We've got the Reno Mage,
mm-hmm.
which was the start of a different style of control mage. When Journey to Un'Goro came out, it released 2 more archetypes of Quest Mage, which is a different form. It's a OTK combo deck. And Gunther Mage or Burn Mage, which is kind of a aggressive freeze. It's not even freeze, but it's like an aggressive, spell-heavy mage. relied on like the typical freeze mage cards, but not the freeze effects. So it had the frost bolts, it had the fireballs, it had the Alexstrasza, so it had that, had the Archmage Antonitis. But it was more concerned with not so much freezing your board, but just dealing as much damage to the face as quickly as possible. And if that didn't work, then you would Alexstrasza them and set them to 15, which coincidentally, Fireball, Fireball, Frostbolt is 15 damage and 10 mana. So that was kind of the combo you'd be going for.
It had a couple secrets sometimes too, with like Explosive Runes was really popular then at that point too. And then you had the Arcanologist that would pull a secret from your deck, the Kirrentor Mage that would allow you to play it for free along with a 4/3 on the board. And you wanted to just get a little bit of chip damage from your minions and then just go face with most of, if not all of your burn spells that you had in the deck.
Yeah, it was like it was very similar in the freeze mage in the fact that you would put up an ice block, but instead of freezing the board, you would put up minions that they had to deal with that also did other effects like Arcanologist and Kirrentor Mage, while also dealing, you know, explosive runes, dealing chip damage and destroying a minion. And you would typically get so low that, you know, a few fireballs and a couple pings or a fireball frostbolt, stuff like that, was just enough to kill you. Along with Primordial Glyph just being absolutely ridiculous in this. It got worse over time because more bad mage spells were released. But at the time of Journey to Un'Goro, it was one of the most powerful cards in the game. Like, yeah, anyway. and then after Knights of the Frozen Throne came out, we got Big Spell Mage, which is one of my favorite decks of all time. It is a solid 100% control mage. No fancy freeze effects. It does run the Blizzard, but mostly because it's a big spell. You'd try to play as... You'd have all of the AoEs. You have the Flame Strike, the Blizzard, the Dragon's Fury, the Meteor, and you'd run Frostlass Jaina and just try and stall them out while generating value with your hero power and heal out of any range of damage. And then you'd also have a few finishers in the form of Sindragosa or Alexstrasza and Dragon Caller Alana. So it was a lot of fun to play, although it was definitely one of the most unfun decks to play against.
Yeah, starting turn 4, if they had the coin, they could just pretty much AoE every single turn until Jaina came down. It could feel pretty helpless to keep aboard.
Yeah, and then that kind of archetype persisted for almost a year until Rosicon's Rumble came out, and we started getting into Odd Mage. And Odd Mage had two different variants. It had the more aggressive style that was kind of still using the explosive runes and the Kirrentor Mage and going face as much as possible with the upgraded hero power. And then you had like the big spell version of Odd Mage, where it was still a control deck. It still had Frostlass Jaina and all of the AoEs. It just couldn't run the polymorphs and the blizzards and the meteors, but it made up for it in other ways, including Janalai the Dragonhawk, which I'd love to see that get played again. I'm waiting for a slower mage deck that can use that come back up, because that was one of my favorite decks of the expansion. I just love playing with Janalai. And now we get into...
It was eight damage with the hero power, and Janalai would summon Ragnaros the Fire Lord, who's not even in Standard, for free.
Yeah.
Seems good. And then you could do things like
Zola
the Gorgon on the Janalai and get yourself another free 80.
Yeah.
Oh man, that was fun.
It was pretty nasty. And then in Rise of Shadows, we have two main archetypes that have popped up after all the buffs and nerfs and changes and stuff like that. We have Conjurer's Calling Mage, or Cyclone Mage, which relies on casting a bunch of cheap spells. You get a bunch of random spells back with Mana Cyclone. You put down Mountain Giant, you're Conjurer's Calling them, and it's hard for the opponent to deal with a whole bunch of random spells and the Mountain Giant. And then this freeze mage, which instead of dealing a bunch of damage with burn, it can still do that, but it also runs the Mountain Giant Conjurer's Calling, because it's that's what you do with mage right now. But it also runs Luna's Pocket Galaxy, which what used to be 7 mana and was completely unplayable, now it costs 5 mana, is absolutely busted, because you can build your deck around that, and it doesn't just... You can start drawing 1 mana Alexstrasza's 1 mana, Archmage Antonitis, all that stuff, starting on turn 5, potentially.
Yeah, it's...
Seems good. Seems
it's good. Nasty. I've played a lot of that Freeze Mage variant, modified slightly by myself, but that's how I've beaten Warriors, is getting a 1-mana Archmage Antonitis and just being like, alright, I have a bunch of fireballs in my hand. Can you kill me before I kill you? Probably not at this point in time. So...
Yeah, you can abandon the board. If you get a good 1-mana Archmage Antonitis, you can get something like 5 or 6 fireballs in your hand, and then it's just don't play anything on the board so they can't do any sort of rush healing or anything with Zilliax, and just keep sending them to face and yep. along with pings and frostbolts, and you can win games against Warrior that way. And does it feel good, I have to say.
Yeah. And one of the interesting things I've kind of noticed as of late, as I've just been watching a lot of pro players play the deck, is that there's times where you can take alternate routes and Conjurer's Calling a 4-drop, Conjurer's Calling a 3-drop, and just take control of the board and not really have to worry about just the giants, because yes, the giants are a major payoff, but if you're facing off against like something that's more tempo oriented and board centric, then turns out putting, you know, a bunch of 4-drops on the board is really good to fight for the board and even start pushing back if they're having a slow start too. So it's, I think that's one of the things that makes the deck really good and hard to play, is kind of deciphering your hand and coming up with your game plan.
Yeah, especially when you have Khadgar. You know, a couple, like 2 random 4 mana cards on Super Great, having 4 random 4 mana cards is pretty decent. I also just want to quickly mention that it hasn't been played very much right now, but at the start of the expansion, we had Book Mage, which used Book of Spectres to fill up your hand. You only ran 4 spells, which was the 2 Book of Spectres and the 2 Conjurer's Callings. So it was the same idea as Cyclone Mage, in that you want to get Mountain Giants and Conjurer's Calling them, same as Freeze Mage, because that, like, this is how you win with Mage right now. You put down Mountain Giants and you Conjurer's Calling them. Most of the time, you want to be Conjurer's Calling something. Mm-hmm. But it also had a bunch of dragon synergies. And one of the big... It kind of just transformed into Cyclone Mage when they abandoned the book. They put in the Sorcerer's Apprentice. They put in Ray of Frost and a bunch of cheaper spells. And also added in Sea Giants. So...
Yeah. Because you can control the board. Like, Ray of Frost is just an insanely powerful card. You get to freeze 2 minions. And, like, one of the biggest examples I can think of is just freezing Edwin Van Cleave dead in his tracks.
Like, I mean, yeah, if you have both copies of it, you could potentially freeze it for 4 turns in a row. Oh, yeah, and then you also run 2... Like, if you're Freeze Mage, you also run 2 copies of Blizzard and 2 copies of Frost Nova. Mm-hmm. Like, it can be pretty infuriating to play against.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because it's just like, that deck is extremely infuriating, especially when they draw the nuts. When they're just like, turn 5, Mountain Giant, Coin, Conjurer's Calling. Like, what am I supposed to do against that? That's like one of those situations that, like, unless you're playing Warrior, it feels super, super bad. Because Warrior is about the only class I can think of that can easily... I mean, I guess Rogue could with Double Vendetta, Walk the Plank, or Betrayal, Double Vendetta. So there's ways you could, but that's just so much to ask for from...
There is a bit of rock, paper, scissors in the specialist format mostly. Mm-hmm. We're not going to go into it, but in the specialist format, there is a rock, paper, scissors between Cyclone / Freeze Mage, Control / Bomb Warrior, and Shark Rogue. Mm-hmm. Whereas the Warrior beats the Rogue beats the Mage, and the Mage beats the Warrior.
Yeah, that sounds about... That's how it's supposed to happen. And that's that's how the edges lean. It's not always how it happens, but yeah.
It's generally how it rolls. You really need to have answers. Warrior doesn't typically have enough answers to deal with the Mage, and the Rogue can kind of deal damage from hand and outrace it, since the only healing it has in the deck is Ziliax.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So
it's amazing to me how much of a difference Luna's Pocket Galaxy is from 7 mana to 5 mana.
Oh yeah.
As you mentioned before, it was literally unplayable. People were memeing with it, trying to get it to work, but it really, waiting until turn 7 or to be able to play the card and then get 1 mana minions after that. But being able to potentially play it as early as turn 4 with a Sorcerer's Apprentice or with a coin or both, I guess you could do potentially as well. It's absolutely crazy.
The most play it had ever seen before this was in the reveal video, which was fantastic.
Yes.
But
hey,
I
got plenty of play out of it in Togwaggle Mage, so you shut your mouth.
But it is.
You're doing a good job of defending it, to be honest.
Exactly.
I will point out that you can win. The deck is structured in a way that you don't have to play Luna's Pocket Galaxy to win. I mean, heck, Mountain Giants and Conjurer's Calling is good enough even without the Luna's Pocket Galaxy going off. But it's just... when you're facing a mage, you already know you have that mountain to climb when it comes to Mountain Giants, and then if they're able to play the Luna's Pocket Galaxy on turn 4, turn 5, turn 6, mm-hmm. Because you are not putting enough pressure on them that they can take a turn off to do that, then they have the spells like Arcane Intellect and things like that to be able to just pull out and play all those 1 mana minions that they got after that spell is done. So
yeah,
it really is pretty crazy.
And after mm-hmm. that point, Luna, Stargazer Luna becomes the nuts.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Because being able to
everything costs between like 3 and 0 mana at that point in time. Depending if you have the blizzards might not, or blizzards won't obviously, but everything else in your deck is going to range between 3 mana, 1 mana, and 0 for all your giants. Cause unless it's the only card in your hand, it's 1 mana, 0 mana. And as long as there's more than one minion on the board, that mountain giant or that sea giant's also going to be free. So
Stargazer Luna is a really good card too. When it was first revealed during the Boomsday project, it was like, okay, that's a little weird that you have to play the most right hand card and you get to draw a card if you do that. And even at 3 mana, you can have some pretty silly turns in these decks because they have such low mana cost spells and things like that. And then the Mana Cyclone. The fact that it not only does it give you a bunch of spells, but there's also the evocation spell that allows you to play the Mana Cyclone for free. And gives it one more spell that you're pulling as well. It's just those cards really do, along with Sorcerer's Apprentice from the classic set, really do make these decks go.
Yeah, I just want to hammer home, Sorcerer's Apprentice is the card that makes all of these decks, or these two decks, function as well as they do. If for some reason Sorcerer's Apprentice was just sent out of the game, I don't think that these two decks would be nearly as powerful as they are. Obviously, Mountain Giant Conjurer's Calling is still insane, and that is a big payoff, but I think that the glue that keeps it consistent, that keeps it going, is the Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Yeah. I think the stall turns that you need in order to set up those big mage turns require you to be a little creative with the spells along with the Sorcerer's Apprentice. And so being able to play a zero mana Mirror Image, to be able to play the zero mana Ray of Frost to freeze two targets and different things like that, it is really, really powerful.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Mana cheating. We could say it again. Each class, if you have a way to cheat mana, it's going to be powerful. And for mage, the cheating mana comes in the form of Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we look at things through Hearthstone history. You know, the preparation, innervate, anything that's, or Emperor Thorsen, anything that gives a mana discount has historically been strong.
Yeah, Radiant Elemental for Priest, too.
Yeah.
So, okay. Well, that's going to wrap us up with Mage. Mage, what is this week's poll question?
All right, so the poll question about Mage this week is, what deck from past metas do you wish you could play in Standard right now? And your choices are going to be Big Spell Mage, Mech Mage. We didn't talk about it, but Aluneth Mage, which is kind of like the Gunther Mage. It actually is the Gunther Mage, I think.
Like Tempo. It's another one of those Tempo Mages. I'm using mage. Air quotes. It's Burn Mage. Instead of using Arc, it has the Aluneth to draw through your deck very quickly. It's just another Burn deck, pretty much. Yes.
And then Reno Mage. So we've got two more controlling decks. We've got two more aggressive style decks. You're also free to reply to the tweet and give us a vote for other. If Freeze Mage is your bag, or some other version of Mage that we didn't talk about, definitely let us know, and we'll share the results next week.
I'm selecting Togwaggle Mage.
Of course you are.
I love the janky decks. When we get to Priest, we'll talk about my all-time favorite janky deck, and my first love with Priest. So, all right. So that's going to do it for us this week. Nicolas, you want to tell everyone where they can find you?
Yeah, I'm on Discord. We have our Doctor 3 Discord on there, as well as the Coin Conceit Discord. I'm on Twitter at Nicolaius123. I also do coaching on Game of Sensei under the same name.
Mage?
I too am in the Doctor 3 Discord. Definitely come and hang out with us. I'm on Twitter at Majordeath, and then stream Monday, Wednesday, Friday. At twitch.tv/majordeath as well.
And you can find me at Daring Alkaline on Twitter. I do a little bit on Twitch every now and then, so I'm not going to plug that yet because I haven't even streamed in a while, but I'd like to in the near future. I keep saying that, and I'm planning on doing it. You can email the show at dr3hs@gmail.com. You can also hit us up on Twitter at dr3hs@gmail.com. Also, guys, this is kind of my first time remembering it. Reviews. If you guys like what you're hearing, please go ahead and give us a review on iTunes. I'm working on getting us on Spotify and Android as well. So hopefully by the weekend we'll be up on both of those. So I'm going to be doing some research and figure out where I need to submit everything to get us up. So and so just leave us a review, it helps more people find the show, so, and that's definitely a good thing. We want more people listening to us and coming and hang out and having a good time. So all right, that's gonna do it for Dr. 3 this week. Signing out.
Boom.
Boom.